Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, we're going to finish up our series. I really feel like God wants us to make sure we get this in today because I think it's going to bless you. I think it's going to encourage you. And so part four of our series, Changing for Good, if you got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read several verses because you can handle it. But 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 3. I'm going to go all the way through verse 9. And I'm going to begin to read it out of the Message paraphrase. So if you've got a different translation or paraphrase, it may sound a little bit different, but it's the same Bible, the same text. And then when we go through some points that God has given me, we'll read the NIV. But we're going to start in the Message. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Here's what God's word says. What a God we have. I think that's a good start. Can I get an amen? What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have him, this father of our master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us in the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. Verse 6, I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. It's almost like the Apostle Peter knew about the traffic here in Houston, y'all, the aggravation. Now, we know it goes a lot deeper than that, but let's be honest, it starts there for many of us. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith, not fake faith, genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, I love this paraphrase of this section of scripture. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Verse 8, you never saw him. Peter is writing to disciples after Jesus has already ascended. You never saw him in person, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him. I love this part because this represents our house and what we want for us here at Christ Covenant with laughter and singing. There's joy involved. We get a little crazy sometimes, but we love Jesus. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. Like, isn't that good, y'all? Like, aren't you thankful for God's written, holy word? Can you give God a little bit of praise in his house for his holy, written word? I love it so much that I thought I'd borrow a line from it for my title today, okay? So if you're taking notes, I'm calling this message the last installment. We got a new series next week. The last installment of our series, Changing for Good. This message is called Part 4, The Future Starts Now. The future starts now. Now, I know we prayed several times, but we're allowed to pray in church. So let's pray again and get our hearts ready. Lord, we love you so much. And God, there's just a holy anticipation in my heart. And really, it's awesome even now seeing how you're connecting what's happened this morning with us going a different route than we planned. And even some things you put on my heart to pray and share earlier. There are things that you want me to share from your holy word here right now. And so I just pray, God, that every ear would be open to hear what you have to say, that every eye would be open to see what you want us to see. And I pray, God, that you would encourage us. And I especially pray for the many people represented in this house that are hurting, because this text is dedicated to them. Those that are grieving, those that are suffering, those that are facing trial after trial. I pray, God, especially for those that they would have an ear opened to hear what you have to say, because you will encourage them if they'll lean in and you will do a mighty work. And so use this imperfect person on the microphone to declare your perfect holy word, and may all of us be changed for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So good. It was back this past fall that my wife and I, we went on a trip, a vacation, sans kids, just her and I. And I love my kids, but I also love my wife, y'all. And so I was excited about the trip. And the reason for this trip was really had some meaning to it. We had just found out that we were having another child, which that child has come in May. In fact, I don't think we planned to do this, but hopefully it's okay. We picked the name for our baby girl, so I'll share it with you. Our baby girl is going to be named Lucy, y'all. I love Lucy. Hope that's okay. We didn't talk about it. We just picked a few days ago, and so all of our kids, their names mean light, and so we were a little bit boxed in, but that's the name that we landed on, and so Lucy is coming here in May the 9th, and so we're celebrating that. We're excited about that, but also, if you've been around the church for a while, you know that the same way that we've been growing, we've also been a part of this Kingdom Builders movement, and we renovated the first floor of this building, almost all of it, and so we were in the middle of all that and really towards the end, and so this fall, we were like, we love everybody, but we need some time together, just us two, a few days, want to get away. We were like, yes, we want to do that. And so we picked New York City, not a city we'd want to live in, but a great city to visit. We had never been there. And so we were really excited about this trip, to say the least. And because we already have two young kids, and the parents with young kids will relate, we were excited about a lot of things, but we were also excited about getting to sleep in, y'all. Like, sleep is a beautiful thing, and you miss it so dearly when you have young kids. And so we were excited about that. We were so excited that we could finally, it had been a while, eat nice meals at restaurants that do not have on the menu animal-shaped cookies or animal shaped like chicken nuggets. Like, we were excited to try out some of those places. We could be spontaneous again, and we could take in the sights and the sounds and not have to do a million restroom breaks in the middle. And if you've been to New York, we could even take in the smells too, y'all. Now, those aren't the greatest, but they are accurate, what you hear in the movies and all of that. And so we just couldn't wait. Gonna be amazing, sleep, all that kind of stuff. And let's be honest, and this makes y'all real uncomfortable, but it's kind of fun for me. Like, I wanted to get close with my wife and for us to have those close times. And parents of young children, you can relate to this. We wanted those moments without somebody, one of our kids yelling for us on the intercom, on the baby monitor, banging on our door. Like, we just wanted that. Like, it was gonna be awesome. It was gonna be great. So we're leading up to this moment, and it was the day before, so 24 hours left, and we're doing all the little things that you do. And so we were making sure everything was done with the church and getting ready for what was happening next and in our personal lives. And my mom and dad were going to watch the kids for us and get all the little moments, all the little details figured out. And the day before, I decided for lunch that I was going to go to Chick-fil-A. And so I went to Chick-fil-A, the one off of Barker Cypress. And how many of y'all know the line was back a mile in the drive-thru? So I'm sitting there in line, and literally I'm in park, and I'm just dreaming about what's going to happen. At this point, probably less than 24 hours, and I'm sitting there parked, and the person in front of me, I have no idea to this day why they began to do this, but all of a sudden, I'm parked behind them in the line, and they are beginning to back up towards my front bumper. And in that moment, it happened real quick, but it felt like a long time. And so I'm slamming on the horn. I'm yelling at them, which didn't do anybody any good because my windows were up, by the way. But I'm like, no, no. And it's happening in slow motion. They keep backing up. I have no idea why. Don't you want some holy chicken? Okay. And they're backing up. And all of a sudden, bam, they hit my front bumper. Now, of course, everybody was safe. Nobody was injured. It was a fender bender. But how many of y'all know that wasn't my best moment? I wasn't excited about what happened. Now, let me just be real honest, real transparent. In weeks and months before that, if this would have happened, I would have probably been repenting before the Lord, okay? I'm not as mature as you are. I'm not as spiritual as you are. And I just got to be honest. It wouldn't have just ruined my day. It would have ruined my week. That's just how I am. Like something great. I could have won the lottery. I don't play the lottery. I could have won the lottery the next couple of days and have been like, nope, not any good. Somebody hit my car. And so I knew that insurance was coming. I was going to fight with insurance. I knew it was going to be a huge hassle. I didn't get my chicken that I wanted either. I mean, it was a pain. But here's what happened. Here's what's interesting is even though normally I would have been real upset about that, even something small, I wasn't upset this time. And I'd like to say it's because I'm so mature now, but y'all know me, that's not true. I'd like to say because I'm so spiritual now. Y'all know me, I got a ways to go there. The reason why I wasn't upset and the reason why I wasn't mad or angry was not because the littleness of what happened with the fender bender. It's because I knew what was coming in less than 24 hours. I knew that, yeah, this is going to drive me crazy in the short term, but in less than 24 hours, I'm going to be on a plane towards the city of love with the woman I love without our kids. Love our kids, but I love my wife. And so I knew that something great was coming on the horizon. And so I honestly was not upset about it at all. And what I'm trying to describe to you today is the reason why I wasn't upset when I normally would have been upset is because I had hope. It's a powerful four-letter word. In fact, I'll put it to you this way. The hope of tomorrow outweighed the pain of today. And that's a word for somebody in this house. And as we read a little bit from 1 Peter chapter 1, this is what the apostle Peter, the author, what he's alluding to. He's acknowledging the elephant in the room. I know you can't see the elephant, but y'all, there's an elephant in the room here today. And here's what he's addressing. The apostle Peter is addressing the present pain, the present suffering, the present grief that a lot of the Christians were facing. And oh, by the way, if you decide to follow Jesus, there will be some suffering. Welcome to church. Glad you're here. Like there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some pain. And I understand that that doesn't sound pretty. Like nobody's going to tweet that later on today, but it's true. And if anybody, please hear me, this is important. If anybody ever tells you otherwise, if anybody comes to you or anybody posts a video online talking about how you will never have pain if you're following Jesus, they are lying to you or they are sadly misinformed. This life is tough. Just because you love Jesus, I found out a few things, been doing this over 10 years, being a full-time pastor. Just because you love Jesus and just because you love people doesn't mean they'll always love you back. It's just the truth. And so Peter, in this whole letter, and specifically in the verses we just read, he addresses our big dilemma as Christians. I would write down this question if you're taking notes. How do we reconcile a good God when life is breaking bad? Hashtag Walter White. Like, how do we reconcile a good God when life is breaking bad? And Peter gives us so much perspective and so much helpful truth in just these few verses. After he acknowledges the pain that they were going through, that many of us are going through, after he acknowledges the suffering, the trouble, the grief, he then reminds them back then and us here today of some great news. And I just got three things for you, and I hope you'll jot these down. Peter's looking at you in the eyes, and he's saying this. Number one, don't forget that you're in the will. That you're in the will. I want to read verses 3-5, but from the NIV now. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. It's not dead. It's not past tense. It's living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and catch this, the beginning of verse 4, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith and shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We read in these verses, verses 3-5, that even though we suffer, and even though we grieve, and even though it's difficult living for a holy God in an unholy world, we do have reasons to praise him. That even though life is bad for a lot of us right now, and we wished and we hoped that things would not be this way, we still have reasons to praise him. And Peter gives us several. And if you take notes real fast, I'm going to encourage you to jot these down. Peter talks about God's mercy. Did you know that not only does God offer you grace, but every single morning, the moment your alarm clock goes off, there is new mercy ready for you. Did you know that, friend? New mercy every day. God withholding so much from us that we deserve. You know, people say all the time, man, if I just got what I deserved, friend, you do not want what you deserve. I don't either. I don't care how good you are. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve hell for eternity. But because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, is anybody hearing me today? Am I on my microphone? Is this mic turned on in the back? Because of what God has done, we can stand before him holy, not because of me, because of him. Peter talks about new life. Talks about living hope. He talks about protection. And I could do a whole message on each one of those things that Peter points out. But for our purposes today, I want to highlight one. As believers in Jesus, we have an inheritance. You're in the will if you're following Jesus. And this is so good and so powerful, but it gets better. Our inheritance, it's eternal. It's forever. Our inheritance cannot be robbed. Our inheritance stays high even when the economy trends down, but it gets better. Our inheritance is ready and waiting for us in heaven. It's secure. It's stable. It is being stored for us one day. Well, what's the inheritance, Pastor? Like, give me a dollar amount. I'd like to know that. Let me know how many zeros are in that inheritance, because I didn't get one from my mom and dad. I'd like to get one with a lot of zeros at the end. Tell me the number, Pastor. And if you're thinking that today, I got to tell you something. You are missing the point. You're missing the point. The inheritance that God has for you and me, if we're followers of Jesus, is far more valuable than paper. It's far more valuable than precious metal. It's way more secure than Bitcoin. You just need to know, okay? We're talking about eternal joy, not happiness. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness, it depends on your situation and your circumstance. We're talking about eternal joy in the presence of Jesus. We're talking about heaven and all the amazing blessings that come with it. We're talking about eternity with the Savior of the world. The one who loves you, the one who has time for you, the one who cares about you, the one who bled out for you. That's what we're talking about. This is the inheritance. And when we realize that in a deep and meaningful way, this is how we're able to praise a good God even when life is not. The hope of tomorrow outweighs the pain of today. And so if you've ever been weighed down by the present circumstance you're in, and I know there's people in that boat, if you've ever been weighed down by what's going on around you or to you, you need to do some biblical study on heaven. And as you do that, and as you read about the streets of gold, as you read about the different gates and the beauty and the splendor and the eternity with God in person, when you read and study about heaven in the Bible, not some other book in the Bible, when you do some study, you can't help but have your spirits lifted, because it is going to be an incredible place. Here's a second point that Peter draws our attention to. If you're in some pain, you need to lean in. Number two, the struggle is making you stronger. The struggle is making you stronger. Verses 6 through 7 out of the NIV now. In all this you greatly rejoice. All the good things that Peter just described. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Like, I just want to get real, real honest for a moment. These two verses, they are the deep end of the Christian pool, okay? I've had many conversations with many of you here in this room about what's going on, the pain. We prayed together, but not one of you and not me in any time of my life, none of us have ever been excited about the pain that we have. In fact, if anybody is ever excited about the pain they face, they need to go see a doctor stat, okay? Like no one gets excited about that. No one amens that. Oh, your life's gonna be hard. Amen, pastor, amen. No. Nobody does that. Like, these are very challenging verses. I don't know about you. I'll speak for me. These are really, really hard to live out. This is the deep end. This is depth in your relationship with Jesus. Though, even though you may have cancer, or even though you may have an incurable disease here on this earth, that you would still praise him. You would still give him glory. You would still give him honor. Even though, God forbid, you lose a close loved one in your life, that you would still give him all the glory he deserves. That's the deep end of the pool. That's deep. You go memorize the Bible in Greek, Hebrew, and that little bit of Aramaic. That's cool. Like, great for you. But that's not really all so deep. Are you applying it to your life? And this is deep. And let's just be real, real, real honest. A lot of us, myself included, we're not there all the way yet. We're on a journey, and that's okay. And so if you're not a believer or you're brand new and you're like, whoa, 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 I thought it was going to be all rainbows and butterflies. And like, I love the clapping and the celebrating, but we're talking about suffering. Like, I know it's deep. And if you're not there yet, that's okay. Embrace the leg of the journey you're on now and keep moving forward into all that God has for you. Can I get an amen in God's house? The struggle is making you stronger. And the analogy that Peter uses, Peter, just a genius, the analogy he uses, it meant a lot back then and it has been timeless. It still makes sense for us today. Now, a lot of the Bible we got to interpret because there's a lot of farming analogies and fishing analogies, and maybe those land for you, but they are way over my head, the city slicker that I am. And so I got to research it and I got to study it, but I get precious metals. Like, there's precious metal on my wife's finger and it's expensive, y'all. Like, expensive. I told her, like, you can lose it and we'll get you one, but it won't be near as much as I spent originally. Like, it's got some value to it. And so we understand precious metals still today. And here's what Peter points out. One of the unique aspects of refining gold is that when you place it in the fire, it doesn't damage the gold. It actually purifies it. Happened back then, happens today. It doesn't end up hurting the gold in the end. It actually helps it. The struggle makes it stronger. And friend, I've got good news for you. This can be the same with you and the pain that you face. In fact, if you're not in some pain, spoiler alert, pain's coming. The older you get, the more things hurt. Just being real, I'm a young man, but I feel a difference in these last few years. Just saying. And so you're going to face pain. There's going to be struggle. You honestly, and this is for somebody, you honestly can't do anything to take away pain in this life. It's going to be there. But so many of us, our life is built around pain management or pain deference. But in this world, there will be struggle, there will be pain, there will be suffering. You can't control that part, but you can control this part. You can give your pain a purpose. This is for somebody. You can give your pain a purpose. Do not waste your pain. You can make a decision to let the fire purify you or to pierce you. To purify you or to pierce you. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm saying this. Do not waste your pain. Use it for God's glory. Choose to trust him even when it's not easy. That's genuine faith. Anybody can praise God when they win the lottery and every relationship is going great and you got an 8-pack, not even a 6-pack, it won't do. Like anybody can trust God when life is going phenomenal. But those that are deep, and many of us, not all, but many of us, we want to go deeper in our relationship. And so you must begin to trust him even when it's not easy. You must begin to trust that he is good even when life is bad. You got to begin to trust that even when you get a bad report, even when that person who you love so much has passed away, that he is still good. Choose to call him good even when life is not. I wrote it down this way, just kind of paraphrasing what we read from scripture. Faith in the middle is worth more than gold. Some of us, we're in the middle. Like we're in the middle. At the beginning, you're excited. There's joy. There's expectation because you're beginning. Like don't you know that everybody starts a race well and excited? Like y'all know I'm not a racing kind of person. Like I'm not doing 5Ks or like whatever. But you ever watched a 5K? Like everybody is smiling and happy at the beginning of the race, right? It's like that when you come to know Jesus. Like you're excited. Like it's awesome. It's incredible. And you should be excited. It is awesome. It is incredible. And at the end of the race, everybody's also excited. Why? Because the race is over and they can rest. And they can hold up their hands shaking just like Rocky did right on top of the steps there in Philadelphia. Like I know it's fictitious, but he's real in my book, y'all. Adrian, you know what I'm talking about? like the beginning and end, is anybody can do that, but it's the middle. It's the middle when people quit. It's the middle when people give up. It's the middle when people lose faith. And somebody here in this room, I know we got people watching, listening online, but somebody here in this room, you're in the middle and you're thinking about giving up. Don't quit. Don't you dare give up. Faith in the middle is worth more than gold. It's worth more than gold. Point number three, Tony's gonna help me close this thing out. Number three, don't miss what's right in front of you. Don't miss what's right in front of you. Verse 8 from the NIV. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You see, the first several verses, Peter, he's focusing on the hope to come. He's talking about heaven and all the hope that heaven will bring. But here's what I know many are thinking here today. In fact, if I was in your seat, I'd be thinking the exact same thing. Here's what many are thinking. Like, Pastor, that's great. That heaven's gonna be awesome. And the heaven, like cancer can't get, like that's gonna be great. But like, did you know that Monday's tomorrow? And like, I'm 10, 20, 30, 40 years away from eternity, God willing, as long as I don't eat as much crawfish as I used to, you know what I'm saying? Like that's great. I'm excited about heaven. But what about tomorrow? What about next week? What about next month, next year? That's great then, but what about now? And if you feel that way, and again, I would feel that way if I was sitting in your seat. If you feel that way, Peter would look at you again in the eye and he would say this, you're missing what's right in front of you. You're missing what's right in front of you. It's not just about being with Jesus in heaven. You can have, it is available for all of us, a deep, meaningful relationship with Jesus now. Now, This message, I feel like, is prophetic in a lot of ways, and there's specific points for different people. And I know this next part, these next couple of sentences, they're for somebody, so lean in. But if you're here today and you're like, you know what, Pastor Ryan, that sounds good to you, but for me, that's not that exciting. Like, yeah, deep relationship with Jesus, it's good for you. It's not my truth. It's good for you. It's your truth. If you honestly feel that way, I hope you listen to what I'm going to say next. If you're not interested in a deep, meaningful relationship now with Jesus, then you do not know him at all. This is for somebody. In fact, I really feel like it's some men here in this room. If you have no interest, I'm bold right now because I feel like I've heard from God. If you have no interest with going deep with Jesus now, then you do not know him. You'll get to heaven one day and you can show Jesus your report card all you want. I went to church, I gave money some, I volunteered some. You can do that all you want. We like to do that as men. Here's why you should love me. Here's how I should get my golden ticket into heaven. You can do that if you want, but it will not work. If you have no interest with going deep with Jesus, then you do not know him. And you should prayerfully consider if you're saved or not. Just being real. Because once you get a glimpse of Jesus, once you get a taste, not of religion, not of some shouting pastor in a suit, and it's purple, by the way. Once you get a taste of Jesus in a deep, meaningful relationship, money will no longer satisfy you. Fame will no longer satisfy you. Hitting the vacations every single year, having more than one home, an amazing retirement, it will not satisfy you because you've tasted something, someone so much greater and so much more valuable. I mean, you also bring some boards up here right now. I karate chop them all, y'all. Like, I'm ready. 21 days of prayer and fasting. He'll get to you. You better believe I'm going to eat good tomorrow, for real. Like, if you don't have any interest, men, talking to some men, if you don't have any interest in Jesus, you don't know. You can strive all you want. Your report card can be straight A's in all those categories I listed. It will not give you the golden ticket into heaven. It's not about what you can do. It's about what Jesus has already done for you. Don't miss what's right in front of you. I know I'm going to go a little bit longer because I got an illustration I got to give, but I'm not preaching tonight, so I'm going to go a little bit longer here today. I'm going to end with this. There was a man who went to a garage sale in Nashville, Tennessee, and one of the things that he found as he was kind of going through the different bins that they had, is he found a yellowed, rolled up piece of parchment. It was distressed and it was made to look aged. In fact, I went back to my time dating Isabel before we got engaged, before we got married. And that's the kind of thing you like to do, right? Like, you like to make it look old and antique as you write that love note and all the, you know, you get the matches and you burn the edges and use the lemon juice like they did in National Treasure and all that kind of stuff. So that's what this guy sees there at the garage sale. It was distressed and it was made to look aged. And he purchased it because it was real cheap. And he unrolled it and he found out that it was a replica of the Declaration of Independence. And he thought, this is great. This is cool. And so what he did is he put it up in his garage. And it hung on his wall, this replica, for 10 years, for a decade. And he was a guy like the opposite of me. Like, he worked with his hands. I'm behind a computer screen. I'm meeting with people at a coffee shop. Like, he's getting in there and he's wrenching on his vehicles and he's working in his garage. And so he would see it every single day. He would be around it so many hours every single day. Well, eventually this guy, he gets engaged and he finds out what you'll find out when you get engaged, that when you're coming together, it's not just you two physically, but it's also coming together when you get married and you get an apartment or you get your house and you've both got your stuff and there's not room for all your stuff. And this guy, he went to garage sales a lot. So he had a very difficult conversation with the soon-to-be bride. And she told him, like, she laid it down. She said, hey, if you want to get with me, most of your stuff is going to have to go. And he said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. He's a smart guy. And so they would go through the different items that he had all throughout his house. They eventually get to the garage, and he would just simply ask her, like, stay or go? He points to that replica, like, stay or go? And she's like, go. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so he's an American, so he can't throw it away, right? So he donates it to a thrift store, and he moves on. Well, another guy, I'll give you this guy's name. His name is Michael. He goes to this thrift store, and he goes to the poster bin that they have. And he sees this old piece of paper, this poster, and he opens it up. Oh, that's cool. It's a replica Declaration of Independence. And he sees on the price tag, it's like $2. He's like, yeah, I'll take that. So this guy, Michael, he buys it, and he takes it home. Well, soon after that, one of his buddies, he shows off this replica. Isn't this cool? And one of his buddies looks at Michael and says, Michael, like, I know you think that's a replica, but you should probably have that checked out. I don't think there was lemon juice in matches involved in the aging process here. You should look into this. Again, this is a true story. So Michael, he goes to one of those places. They were having like an antique roadshow. Y'all remember that show on PBS? I don't know if it's still going on, but I used to love that show. And so he finds a place like that. He takes it in, and they inspect this piece of parchment. And they find out, long story short, that this is not a replica. It is one of 200 copies commissioned by John Quincy Adams to be made in the year 1820. And my main man, Michael, I don't know him, but I wish I did. He sold that piece of parchment for over $400,000. That's some pretty good ROI, friend. $2 investment. All y'all going to the thrift store after the service today. Well, as you can imagine, news breaks out. I think it was worldwide, but it definitely was big there in Nashville, Tennessee. And word eventually gets back, as you know it would, to the original guy. He's married at this point. Hopefully they're still married today. I don't know. Wouldn't it be just kind of fun to be a fly on the wall as they discussed what took place? There's a little side note here, but I can tell you this. Not only does she feel real bad, but that guy never sold anything again for the rest of his life. You know that's the case. What's the point? Why did you try to get this story in? This guy, before Michael owned it and sold it, this guy had something so valuable right in front of him. It was there for a decade. 10 years working around it, reading part of the script every once in a while, showing it off to buddies as they worked on cars. It was right in front of him. For some of us, we're going through life, and yeah, we'll go to church some, and yeah, we'll read our Bible some, and yeah, we'll pray some, but we're missing was right in front of us. In 2020, it's time that we stop playing church and we start pressing into Jesus, the person. In 2020, it's time that a group of people rise up in Houston, Texas, and we say, you know what? I'm not just gonna be around Jesus. I'm gonna meet with Jesus. You know what? I'm not just going to show up to church every once in a while. I'm going to run after the one who created me, the one who loves me, the one who cares for me, the one who wants to do an amazing work in my life. I'm not going to miss what's right in front of me. There's going to be a lot of people. They stand before God one day, and we will all stand before God one day. And they're going to present all their victories to God. And yes, they won, but they won at the wrong game. Yeah, you made a lot of money. Yeah, you had a great marriage. Your kids didn't kill each other growing up, and they actually have jobs, thank God. Like, that's a win. It is. But it's not the game. Oh, God, look at this. God, look at this. God, look at this. And Jesus will look at you not with anger, but with love, saying, I was here the whole time. I was standing right in front of you. You missed me. You blamed it on a church that hurt you in the past. You blamed it on some pastor, some person in the church. But they don't speak for me. You missed me. Can I tell you something prophetically today? You don't have to wait till heaven to encounter God. The future starts now. Let's pray. God, this service is Holy Spirit dripped with your presence. I pray, God, that whatever we needed to experience, whatever we needed to hear, I pray, God, that right now you would seal the deal. And not only would we receive it, but we would latch on to it. I pray, God, specifically for some men in this house, that we would not ride on the coattails of our girlfriend, our fiancé, or our wives as they run after Jesus, but that we would run after Jesus as they run after Jesus. I pray, God, that we would not work our whole lives to win at the wrong game. I pray, God, that if there was zero desire for a deep relationship with you before this service, I pray it would change right now. That even now you'd pour out your love, your grace, and your mercy. And I pray for the many, and I know several of the stories, I pray for the many that are represented in this house that are facing immense pain, suffering, and grief. I pray, God, that the hope of heaven would stir their hearts. That the eternal glory, the eternal joy, far outweighs the present pain and the present suffering. Close your eyes with me if they're not already all across the house. As we do every single Sunday morning, I want to give anyone that's represented in this room or online, I want to give you a chance to respond to Jesus. Not to a pastor on a microphone, not to an altar call, but to the one who saved you, the one who made you, the one who loves you. There's not a better place. There's not a better opportunity than right now. The future starts now. Today can be your day that you go all in with Jesus. Today can be your day that you recommit your life to him because you've been running away. Today can be your day that you get serious and you say, you know what? God, it's not easy, but I'm gonna put my faith, my full faith in you. A faith that's genuine, that doesn't depend on my circumstance or how I feel. I want to give you that opportunity. Please close your eyes with me all across the house, just honoring this moment. We're almost done, I promise. This is longer than we normally go if you're a guest. But with eyes closed, if you're here today, you're far from God, but you want to get things right with him. I'm not going to embarrass you. Not going to make you stand, but right where you're seated, I want to lead you in a prayer. But first, I want to know who I'm praying for. So in this room, watching, listening online, if that's you, you want to commit your life to Jesus, surrender your life to him, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else respond online as well? Thank you. You can put your hand down. I'm going to lead you in this prayer, but you're not going to say it out loud alone. There's going to be a whole bunch of people around you. I'm going to say this out loud with you. And it's not about the volume or saying the words the exact right way. It's about meaning it with your heart. And it's the honor of my life to lead you in this prayer of commitment, surrender to Jesus. Those that raise your hand and also others as support, say this after me out loud. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so, Jesus, I ask you now to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, I surrender. I give you my past, I give you my present, and I give you my future. Jesus, I make you my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for giving me a hope and a future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.